The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots fighting for fairness for all, but they're not even fit to hold office. What they believe doesn't fit with freedom at all.
Good evening and welcome to the National Intel Report. You're tuned in live this Friday, June 22nd, 2018, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network, of course. This is the National Intel Report. I am your guest host, Chris Hinckley, sitting in for John Stadmiller, regular host of Road Warrior Radio here on Republic Broadcasting Network exclusively. And just a couple of things before we get going. First of all, if you were listening to Mike Rivero's broadcast, if you're joining us from the previous broadcast, that's great. Thank you. And we appreciate your continued listenership. But just as a sort of point of clarification, not to cast aspersions or anything like that. Definitely not. But just a point of clarification, a couple of points maybe of clarification. The system that we suffer under, I would say, in America today is the way it really operates, how it really works, what it really is, is markedly different than what we are led to believe. We all grow up believing in, Thomas Jefferson's words, the concept outlined by Thomas Jefferson in the Declaration of Independence, notably that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And of course, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. But we seem to be living in a society that operates wholly different than the central tenets or the fundamental precepts outlined in Jefferson's words in the Declaration of Independence. And that's not by accident. There was a guy most people have never heard of. If you're quoting bad guys like William Willoughby, William James, Bertrand Russell, Aldous Huxley, George Bernard Shaw, guys like that, chances are you are, you would esteem yourself part of the old school bad guys club, as I would call it. But there was this guy named William Willoughby who wrote a book published back in 1919, I believe, almost 100 years ago, titled Principles of Judicial Administration. That was after 10 years in Puerto Rico, which is why Puerto Rico is so near and dear to technocrats' hearts. William Willoughby spent 10 years in Puerto Rico formalizing this new concept of administrative procedure, ministerial and inquisitorial feudal system. And he wrote about it after having set something up that bad guys thought was fantastic. And this was in the Progressive Era, the 20th century Progressive Era architects, from about Woodrow Wilson to FDR, most notably, the Edward Mandel House years, so to speak. And so when William Willoughby returned from Puerto Rico, he wrote his book, Principles of Judicial Administration, based on his experience of setting up a system of, well, administrative procedure. And it's interesting, you know, this sort of hijacking of the country through the, primarily in this case or in this context, through the judicial system is something that folks were talking about. You know, we play that clip every once in a while of Alfalfa Bill Murray. And most folks have never heard of him either. But, you know, maybe we should play that quote. William Alfalfa Bill Murray. Who the heck is that? Was Bill Murray named after this colorful character? That'd be great if I was named after Alfalfa Bill Murray, Oklahoma's 9th governor. I think that'd be fantastic. I would brag about it. But, you know, as he put it, nearly a century ago now, a judicial control and a judicial despotism, basically, is as bad on the liberties of the people as a military despotism. What did he mean? And so, you know, you fast forward to today, and we suffer under system, you know, I know, but we hear about these terms, and it's no small point. We could argue it's semantics. Sure, I understand what you're saying, but it's no small point that we see language upended, obviously, in Orwellian fashion, to sort of coincide with the system that bad guys have created. And what I mean is, so that all is a very circuitous route to come to a direct point. So coming out of the last broadcast, what I mean specifically is we live in a system, you know, folks, bad guys who are, you know, whatever, at whatever level they are in the power elite, you know, C. Wright Mills power elite, they're not necessarily breaking the laws. You and I don't necessarily operate by the same code of conduct. So it's different. We'll set that aside for now. That we'll table that. So that notwithstanding, what I'm saying is that the what bad guys are doing, the system that has been foisted upon the American people, erected and foisted upon the American people, that has been superimposed over the constitutionally orthodox system that we received. Again, kind of holding to the central tenets of Jefferson in the Declaration of Independence. This different system is not, it's not necessarily about laws. You know, it's sort of the inversion of reality and law. So they're not necessarily breaking laws. They're operating by administrative procedure. And this is a long discussion. I wrote a piece back in 2009, an article, that I titled, America is a Don't Ask, Don't Tell Nation. That was published in the Idaho Observer shortly before Don Harkins passed away, which is one of the most unfortunate losses that we have seen in America in recent years, I would say. I guess recent is a relative term since it's been almost 10 years, which is hard to imagine. Anyway, I wrote a piece titled, America is a Don't Ask, Don't Tell Nation. And, you know, basically what I meant was we have a system that is entirely, entirely antithetical to the constitutionally orthodox. In the words of R.J. Pastrito in his 2007 Heritage Foundation article, The Birth of the Administrative State, Where It Came From and What It Means for Limited Government, the way he put it, he wrote, for those who hold the Constitution of the United States in high regard and who are concerned about the fate of its principles in our contemporary practice of government, the modern state ought to receive significant attention. Why is this not receiving significant attention more than 10 years later, particularly in the post-9/11 era, so to speak, which should come to a close immediately? But continuing, he wrote, the reason for this is that the ideas that gave rise to what is today called the administrative state, quote unquote, are fundamentally at odds with those that gave rise to our Constitution. In fact, the original progressive era architects of the administrative state understood this quite clearly as they made advocacy of this new approach to government an important part of their direct, open, comprehensive attack on the American Constitution. They think about that. They understood this quite clearly, and they did. If you do the research, I did the research first and happened on to R.J. Pastrito's article about 10 years ago, and it was one of those corroborative sorts of pieces where I read it and went, okay, great, I'm not crazy. This really is how things work, even though we're led to believe something entirely different. So we hear about the three duly constituted branches, the executive, legislative, and judicial, but this administrative state, the administrative fourth branch, because it was literally called that. Senator Pat McCarran said on the Senate floor, he literally said, we have created a fourth branch. So in 1946, as Congress was passing the Administrative Procedure Act, Senator Pat McCarran, the Senate Judiciary Chair, said as Congress was passing the Administrative Procedure Act, he said, the Senate Judiciary Chairman, this isn't small potatoes. He said, we have set up a fourth order in the tripartite plan of government, which was initiated by the founding fathers of our democracy. And bad guys always use that term democracy, even though you don't find it in our founding documents. And there are, you know, the founders were very outspoken against it as a form of government. Democracy as a mechanism, you know, to have democratic voice is a good thing, but to have a democratic form of government is an entirely different animal. Not good. And on that note, maybe see Benedict LaRose's little pamphlet titled Democracy or Republic, Which Is It? There are a number of great resources. That's one of the great ones. You can still find it on DV Kids' website, devvy.com. It's listed on the front page. I'll include a link to the PDF document that's located on DV Kids' website in the archives. Anyway, democracy is a form of government. As a mechanism in government, democracy is a great thing. But as a form of government, democracy, well, is not good. John Adams, I think it was, said You know, his is the quote about democracies never last long. Remember, he said, he wrote in his letter to John Taylor back in 1814, he wrote, "Remember, democracy as a form of government, I would ask, or excuse me, I would add, never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide. It is in vain to say that democracy is less vain, less proud, less selfish, less ambitious, or less avarice than aristocracy or monarchy. Think about that. It is not true," he wrote. "In fact, and nowhere appears in history, those passions are the same in all men." These are the passions that are invigorated by, well, you know, most notably represented, I suppose, by the CIA and their efforts in color revolution these days. But I digress. So, continuing, he wrote, "Those passions are the same in all men under all forms of simple government, and when unchecked, produce the same effects of fraud, violence, and cruelty." Does that sound like America today to you? Because it sure does to me. And so we're spreading freedom and democracy around the world. Freedom, obviously, is a term that clearly needs to be defined, or needs to be clearly defined, maybe I should say. And democracy is a term that has been used surreptitiously under false pretenses. And together you have a very Orwellian slogan. So anyway, democracy as a form of government, not a good thing. So bad guys always say that, don't they? What Senator Pat McCarran said on the Senate floor back in 1946, as Congress was passing the Administrative Procedure Act, he said, "We have set up a fourth order in the tripartite plan of our government, which was initiated by the founding fathers of our democracy." Our what? I don't want anything to do with a democracy as a form of government. That's a different system. He's probably referring to something that was sort of resurrected from the ashes, like the Phoenix rising after the Civil War, you know, the Reconstruction era. But I digress. So he said, "We have set up a fourth order in the tripartite plan of our government, which was initiated by the founding fathers of our democracy." But he went on to clarify several times. He said next, "They set up the executive, the legislative, and judicial branches." Okay, I'm familiar. But then he said, "But since that time," and again, this is over 70 years ago on the Senate floor, he said, "But since that time, we have set up a fourth dimension, if I may so term it, which is now popularly known as administrative in nature. So we have the legislative, the executive, the judicial, and the administrative." That's what he said, the Senate Judiciary Chairman, Senator Pat McCarran, on the Senate floor in 1946. Four branches? Why don't we learn about that in school? Kids are too busy getting their daily dose of propaganda, I suppose. And then, lest we be confused, he continued, listen to this, Senate Bill 7, which became the Administrative Procedure Act, he said, "The purpose of which is to improve the administration of justice," that's an oxymoron, "by prescribing fair administrative procedure." See, that's what it all comes down to, that right there, administrative procedure. But he said Senate Bill 7, which became the Administrative Procedure, he said literally, quote, "is a bill of rights for the hundreds of thousands of Americans whose affairs are controlled in one way or another by agencies of the federal government. It is designed to provide guarantees of due process in administrative procedure." So let's step back for a minute. Who told you that there was more than one Bill of Rights? Anyone tell you that? Do we learn about the four branches of government? Executive, legislative, judicial, and administrative? Do we learn about the second Bill of Rights, the administrative procedure, in school? No, we don't, unfortunately. It's an entirely different system. We'll get to breaking the law in a minute. Stick around. We'll be right back right after this short break.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. So again, coming out of the last broadcast, the previous broadcast, what really happened with Mike Rivero, just a brief parenthetical aside that, as is customarily my fashion, for better or worse, is, you know, somewhat verbose. I guess it becomes somewhat verbose, but it's important information. We all should know this. We all should be well-versed in this history. What does it mean to be American? It's interesting, isn't it? You know, the words of was it Noam Chomsky, I want to say, or Howard Zinn, I think, actually. It's that clip. Howard Zinn, on patriotism. We should play that. Maybe we'll play that clip in the next segment, too. I think we will. Howard Zinn on patriotism. Definitely got to play that. The Alfalfa Bill Murray clip. John Lennon talking about how bad guys try to get you stirred up. You know, if they can pull your beard and get you mad, then they know what to do with you. That clip is a good one. This is the system we live in. It's important that we all understand this, you know, lest we suffer under these false narratives that were fed, this propaganda, this Bernaysian false narrative that we're constantly fed. Who was it? Was it Howard Zinn? No, I don't know. Or was it I forget. On slogans, Howard Zinn or Noam Chomsky, the quote about slogans. Now that's bothering me. I think it was Howard Zinn. And basically the quote is, in essence, slogans don't mean anything. That's what they're intended to do. The best slogans don't mean anything, and you try to speak out against it, but you can't because it's so ambiguous. It was Chomsky, that you can't say anything against it. So the real, yeah, it's Chomsky. I'll just give it to you instead of pontificating about it. So Noam Chomsky on slogans. The way Noam Chomsky put it, the point of public relations slogans, remember who created public relations, that was a term that Edward Bernays coined in his book, 1928 book, Propaganda. Chapter 3, most notably, is where he coined the term propaganda. So Edward Bernays, propaganda. He said in Chapter 3, propaganda has a bad name. So because of that, I guess we should back up maybe. And again, you know, this is a point that's growing. Simple point. Growing. But this is the system we suffer under today in America. So it's important to understand these things. I think it's essential. This is sort of essential, you know, remedial information we all should know. So Chapter 3, The New Propagandist, but actually in 1928, Edward Bernays opened Chapter 1 titled Organizing Chaos, which of course is an esoteric bad guy turn of phrase. With these words, the conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. What? We are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes are formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we've never heard of. Think about that for a minute. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back. I don't remember which clip it is of John Lennon, but I got the other ones. And so we'll get to those in a minute. So anyway, a circuitous route to a short point, a long trip to a short point. So as I said at the outset of today's National Intel Report, and again, this is Chris Hinckley filling in for John Stadmiller today. I am the regular host of Road Warrior Radio here on Republic Broadcasting Network and in the mornings, Monday through Friday. But, you know, just to not to split hairs, not to cast aspersions, not to get hung up on semantics, but to clarify, you know, because we all should know these things. There should be certain things that we all just understand generally in America, because what does it mean to be American? Well, maybe we'll play the clip, Noam Chomsky, Americanism, in this segment. Howard Zinn on patriotism, Alfalfa Bill, the Alfalfa Bill Murray clip, you know, him talking about a judicial, how did he say it? Judicial control is as bad on the liberties of the people as a military despotism. Who's talking about that these days? What did he mean? We don't understand things. You know, John Stossel did an interesting piece on the Paris Climate Agreement fraud, which is interesting, and I think it was fantastic. It's a fantastic expose of ignorant, mindless slogan chanting. How people just get sucked into the cattle chute of groupthink, and how easy it is. You know, the mainstream press has a talking point that sounds so slick, and, you know, to rebut it, well, you know, you must be a commie. You must be a communist. You certainly aren't an American. How dare you? But when you dig in a little bit, John Stossel did a great job of exposing the fraud of the Paris Climate Agreement. And the only thing that would have been better is if he would have maybe included excerpts from the Club of Rome's book, The First Global Revolution, and how all of the climate change nonsense is just a complete farce. It's a fabrication to unite people in a common cause against themselves, ironically, in Marxist fashion, but never mind that. So, you know, that would have been great. Include excerpts from the book, The First Global Revolution, by Alexander King and Bertrand Schneider. That'd be great, wouldn't it? But, you know, he came close. And it's interesting, too, that, you know, we live in a society that is predominated by form without substance. So, for example, John, and this is just another aside, parenthetical aside within another, but John Stossel doesn't mention that. You don't hear folks, you know, on the mainstream media, you don't hear people talking about when oh gosh, what's his name? Mehdi Hassan gets upset about Christian religious extremism, so-called, and that's sort of an oxymoron, but that's a subject for a different discussion. Not to say that he doesn't have a valid point. He does, but there's some misdirection involved. But when Mehdi Hassan gets upset about how, you know, this hypocrisy of these radical, fundamental, so-called Christian extremists, you know, they have their perspective that's very similar to radical Islam or Islamic extremism or Islamism. Well, it's two sides of the same coin. But you don't hear about the CNP connection, the Council for National Policy. Why not? That's interesting. You don't hear about Wahhabism, Salafism, and Deobandism on the other side of the coin, which also is not Sunni Islam. It's not a religion. It's an ideology. Just look at the Wikipedia entry for Salafi, the Salafi movement, and under that Wikipedia entry, views on extremism. I guess, you know, I can include that. Weird. So, Salafi movement. Do people know this stuff? It's common knowledge. It's even on Wikipedia, the most whitewashed, sanitized version of history on earth. Salafi movement, under section titled Views on Extremism, Salafism is sponsored globally by Saudi Arabia. Huh? One of our two dearest allies in the region, really? But who cares? What is Salafism? Salafism is sponsored globally by Saudi Arabia, and this ideology, not religion, it's considered a subset of Sunni Islam, but only by Wahhabists, Salafists, Deobandists, because in the same fashion that I wouldn't consider Christian identity theory, Jewish identity theory, you know, any extremist ideology or, you know, Ku Klux Klan members, I wouldn't consider any of those people Christians. Some might say Orthodox Christians, but I think that's redundant. I wouldn't consider a Wahhabi, Salafi, Deobandi adherent a Muslim. And so the Wikipedia entry says it right there. The Salafism is sponsored globally by Saudi Arabia, and this ideology, not religion, this ideology is used to justify the violent acts – oh, this is why it matters – used to justify the violent acts of jihadi Salafi groups that include – any of these sound familiar? Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab. Well, you know, if it's important to know your enemy – why don't we hear about this? Why don't we hear that Salafism is responsible? It's used to justify the violent acts of jihadi Salafi groups, including Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Boko Haram, and the Al-Shabaab, among many others. It's all the same ideology. And why don't we hear that it's sponsored by globally by Saudi Arabia, that they've been proliferating this here in America? Why don't we hear about that? It's kind of important, I think, isn't it? So form without substance. We have a monetary system that's built, obviously, predicated on – it's not really built. It's a house of cards, but it's a Ponzi scheme predicated on form without substance. That's the whole fundamental underlying concept. You steal substance while you perpetuate form. But I like the way Jefferson put it, Thomas Jefferson, paper is not money. It is paper is poverty, he said. It's not money. It's the ghost of money. Oh, gosh. I had that somewhere. Where in the heck is that? The book reference. Where in the world is that? I forget. Anyway, paper is poverty. The ghost of money. I had that bookmarked somewhere. Where in the heck is that? So anyway, maybe we'll come back to that. But it's form and not substance is the point. The substance is what has value. The Federal Reserve admits that the Federal Reserve note has zero value. It has purchasing power. What is that? Well, it's the same thing as the administrative system, the administrative fourth branch publishing. What they call in the Federal Register, they publish substantive rules of conduct presumed to have the force and effect of law. What does that mean? That's all funny language. Why don't you just say it's a law? Well, it's not a law, which gets back to the point coming out of the previous broadcast. Breaking the law is a misnomer. There is no law in America today. There is only administrative procedure. There is only this administrative system, this feudal system, this ministerial, inquisitorial system, administrative procedure. It's ministerial and inquisitorial. You know, the high priests of the, you know, they're called magistrates. Think about that. What is a magistrate? It's ministerial. It's a ministerial system. Yes, Your Majesty. Give me a break. So it has nothing to do with law, and I'll prove it. Getting back to the point, circling back to the article that I wrote, America is a Don't Ask, Don't Tell Nation. I wrote back in 2009, published in the Idaho Observer before Don Harkins passed away. The two cases, and for those who don't know, I would point you to the work of Lee Brobst in particular. There are others, but I like Lee. It's been years, but you know, I did a series on that 3 or 4 months long, almost 10 years ago now. And it's, again, this is one of the things we all should know, and if we did, it would change overnight. So here's a section from that article back in 2009. If the common law is nothing else, it is the history of the struggle of trial by jury against the civil law of the Roman private international law, parenthetically, and Germanic empires. Law that is ministerial and inquisitorial. Think about it. Do we live in a society that says you're guilty until proven innocent? We hear you're innocent until proven guilty, but it doesn't operate like that, does it? Watch its feet. Don't listen to its mouth. Law that is ministerial and inquisitorial is not the common law. It is the feudal civil law of Rome and Germany. The significance of the Erie Railroad decision is supremely monumental. It marked a fundamental shift away from the principles of general federal common law, the law of the land, as identified in the 1842 Swift versus Tyson case, and toward a Soviet-style government. What does Soviet mean, by the way? What is the definition or the translation of Soviet? Councils and committees. Council on Foreign Relations. Your local municipal committees and so forth. Soviet-style government. Best identified by a peculiar statement first used by the Supreme Court nearly, well, now almost 150 years ago. In the 1875 case Farmers and Mechanics Bank versus Deering, 91 U.S. 29. The most common derivation was cited by Justice Brandeis in the 1919 case, United States versus Babcock. I was first turned on to that case by Ralph Winterroad, the truth seeker of the far north, on this network many moons ago. But Justice Brandeis, 1919, United States versus Babcock, 250 U.S. 328. It's been a few years, you know, almost 100. But this is what Justice Brandeis said, essentially quoting Farmers and Mechanics Bank versus Deering, 1875. Think about this. It's been a while. 1875 was what? Shortly after the Civil War, shortly into the Reconstruction. And now we're doing the same thing everywhere, you know? R.L., just as a parenthetical aside, another, holy cow, one of my favorite dots to connect is RL33627. The CRS report, Congressional Research Service report, a report by Congress for Congress titled NATO and Afghanistan, a test of the transatlantic alliance. And the October 23rd, 2008 installment includes these words from the summary. The mission of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization in Afghanistan is a test of the alliance's political will and military capabilities. Well, what's the purpose of the mission? The purpose of the mission, the report reads, is the stabilization and reconstruction of Afghanistan. It's that P2OG meets R2P nonsense. So P2OG, Proactive Preemptive Operations Group, going around stimulating reactions, as they say. And then R2P, a responsibility to protect. There's a problem. Oh, we have a responsibility to protect. Yeah, but you created the problem. You know, like Richard Sakwa put it in Frontline Ukraine, NATO's, the irony is, how did he put it? NATO exists to manage, not to mitigate or eliminate. NATO exists to manage the threats created by its existence. So, P2OG and R2P, they collide and we end up with all this nonsense. So in the from the report, you know, the purpose of the mission is to stabilization and reconstruction of Afghanistan. I think I'm getting close to the end of this point. Stick around. We'll be right back and we'll go to the phones shortly here when we return. Be right back.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
They railed against the crown, another ragtag band, declaring independence. Laid their bodies down on a bloody war. Liberty for their descendants. Thanks to the renegades, we're free today. Thanks to the renegades.
Welcome back.
Free today.
Final segment of the National, the first hour of the National Intel Report this Friday, June 22nd, 2018. And again, your guest host, Chris Hinckley, sitting in for John Stadmiller. So a couple of things real quick and then to the phones. Two things on form without substance, where we are today. So again, just to conclude, Noam Chomsky quote, the way he put it on public relations or slogans. The point of public relations slogans like support our troops is that they don't mean anything. That's the whole point of good propaganda. You want to create a slogan that nobody is going to be against, and I suppose everybody will be for, because nobody knows what it means, because it doesn't mean anything. But its crucial value is that it diverts your attention from a question that does mean something. Do you support our policy? And that's the one you're not allowed to talk about or ask. So you have these slogans that are form without substance. They're Orwellian slogans. And this is how they operate. It's a brilliant observation. So last point on form without substance. Did Jefferson really say that? Yes, he really said paper is poverty. So from the writings of Thomas Jefferson, being his autobiography, correspondence, reports, messages, addresses, and other writings, official and private, compiled and edited by H.A. Washington, 1853, back in 1853, Jefferson wrote in his correspondence, I lost my place, with only 20 millions of coin, well, let's see, where is it? Yeah. So he wrote, and this is the cycle that we've seen over and over in history, with only 20 millions of coin and 300 or 400 millions of circulating paper, public and private, nothing is necessary but a general panic produced either by failures, invasion, or any other cause, and the whole visionary fabric vanishes into air and shows that paper is poverty, that it is only the ghost of money and not money itself. He goes on, so I'll include that link in the broadcast archives today. Anyway, hopefully that makes sense. I'll come back to the backing out of the R2P, Responsibility to Protect, Proactive Preemptive Operations Group, P2OG, RL-33627, NATO and Afghanistan, the attest of the Transatlantic Alliance. The mission is a difficult one because it must – well, no. The purpose of the mission is to stabilize the stabilization and reconstruction of Afghanistan. This is the same thing that we've been seeing, you know, in this country for 150 years since the Reconstruction, or the Reconquista, as I like to think of it. Anyway, we'll go to the phones as soon as we come back. Second hour coming up. Stick around. The National Intel Report continues right after this short break.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.